Want to help us out? Leave us a review on iTunes. Unless you hate us. Then send an email where no one else could see. This is the PT Pintcast. A podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, so here we are, another episode of the PT Pintcast, National Student Conclave at the local beer patio garden. Something. I don't know. The more beers I have, the less I remember the name of the place we're in.
Really long and confusing.
It's local. I get it. It's close, and it's got beer. What's it called? National Student Conclave. We're in Omaha. This guy I was turned on to this guy from a guy named Seth Blee, who was in one of our episodes. His name is Ryan Johnson, DPT from the University of California, San Francisco, which I got questions about that.
Yeah, go for it.
I need to be getting to San Francisco. So listen to this guy's story. After graduating, he enrolled in the Institute of Physical Arts, the IPA, the APTA accreditation orthopedic residency, 8 months there in Eugene, Oregon. After that, he moves to Delhi, India, and works for 3 months as a residency co-director instructor for the IPA, where he was involved training 14 Indian physiotherapists in functional manual therapy. Ryan Johnson on the PT Pintcast. First of all, thank you for coming out and talking. You're presenting here at National Student Conclave.
Cheers.
And we're trying to drink and organize episodes. As you can hear in the background, there's a bar.
It's great.
So thank you for coming out and giving the time.
I think you need to rename this Pints Cast.
Several Pints.
Plural.
I literally, because the wait's so long with all the students, literally just ordered three beers and just had...
So this one just had them sitting there. So it is Pints Cast.
Multiple Pints.
I love this. This makes it so much better.
Where do we start? All right, so University of California, San Francisco. How is that?
It's great. I was actually born just above San Francisco, so I've got sort of a complicated life story, which has nothing to do with physical therapy, but...
Who cares? It's a story about people. Tell me a story.
Born just above San Francisco, moved to Colorado when I was 11, lived there, went to high school in Colorado. I grew up in Colorado, okay. So junior high school, skiing, ski racing, outdoor activities. Went back to college in Santa Barbara, California, and I know, it's horrible.
That's a rough life, bro.
So I graduated, and I was so excited to graduate that I decided to stay there, and I bartended in Santa Barbara for another 3 years, which was absolutely horrible. It was the worst decision of my life. That is very sarcastic for everybody listening, because you can't see my face right now. And then I went back to grad school in San Francisco, so it was sort of a roundabout. And then Eugene, Oregon, India, and then New York City.
I was going to say, now we end up in New York City, which is where you are now.
Yeah, where I finished my fellowship. And now I'm still saying I did my fellowship at a clinic in there, and now I am there for the indefinite future.
New York City, that's where I'm from.
I love it. Whereabouts in New York?
I was born in the Bronx and grew up in Orange County, New York. So like 45 minutes north of New York City. The IPA. We talked to Seth Blee, who's another guy, who's another instructor with the IPA. Describe to people, because I had never heard of it before I started researching for the episode for Seth, which came out a couple of weeks ago. What is it?
It's a continued education company that teaches an approach more than a hodgepodge of techniques.
So kind of an idea, theory.
A theory. Everything that we teach is unique to us. Or if it was influenced by somebody else's thing, we give a lot of credit.
Okay.
It's one of the things that when I take courses outside, I always get irritated by is when something was developed by somebody, but they never give credit to who it was developed by. We try to always, hey, this person did this. We don't do exactly that. Here's what we do. Here's our take on it.
Right. But you give them the nod.
We give them the, tip
the
of the nod. Hat.
Hey,
tip of the hat is very important where I come from. Down and dirty, basic. We want to enhance function. We believe every patient has untapped potential. Every human being, not every patient. I can take somebody that does not have pain, and I can enhance their function. I can make them better at moving by treating them with hands-on techniques, whether or not it's mobilizing something or training the muscles to fire like they're supposed to, or it's training them how to live in a better posture and alignment that works for daily living. So our goal is always just to enhance their function. And it's all about function.
Yeah.
And we also want to get out of this idea of normal. There's a lot of, everything is based on normal.
Your normal, my normal,
normal
is different.
Well, it's different. Forget normal, though. Nobody wants to be 50%.
Right.
Let's get them efficient. Let's try to get as close to efficient. Efficient is unattainable. It's a lofty goal. Efficiency is perfect. Nobody's ever going to get there. It's like a limit.
Right.
But the closer you get to it, the better the person is. So let's shoot for the stars, and maybe we won't get efficient, but we're going to get pretty damn close. Instead of being like, oh, well, your range of motion is within normal limits, so you obviously don't have a range of motion issue. Screw that. Every person may be different.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Shoot for the stars. So speaking here at National Student Conclave.
Yeah.
How's that feel? That's gotta be cool.
It's great. It's my second time doing it. I was on a panel the first time, and then this time I'm a solo presenter. Man, I was actually very surprised in myself how well my first presentation went. I was still putting it together last night, and everything felt like, yeah,
We were emailing back and forth, and you're like, hey, I still want to talk, but I'm putting that in my presentation. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah. I was like,
but you instruct.
It's 2 a.m.
But you instruct. So, I mean, this isn't anything new to you.
This is true. Being in front of my friend who's here with me, who's helping me run, we've got a booth in the exhibit hall for Institute of Physical Art, IPA, where we talk to people about what we provide, the residency, the fellowship, the continuing education. He's helping me do that. He came and watched the presentation. He goes, Ryan, I think you speak better and you're more eloquent in your vocabulary when you're in front of 200 people than when you're one-on-one. I go, I think that's a compliment.
I'm not sure.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your presentation, because I read the brief on the APTA website.
Yeah.
And this is something I'm like, damn, I need this, because I did my first rotation outpatient ortho last summer.
Yeah.
And even my CI, we got along great. And she's always like, I just feel like you need a routine. And eventually I got a routine and I felt comfortable. But man, you know, I mean, 12 weeks doesn't make me perfect.
Right.
So describe a little bit about what your talk here at National Student Conclave is about.
Literally, it's a little bit of what I just went over. So in functional manual therapy, we have a basic clinical reasoning that tries to just categorize your logical progression to how you're going to treat a patient. In our continuing education courses, we teach you techniques that we think are amazing for being able to achieve each of those. My goal here was really to not teach the techniques, but teach the reasoning and let the students plug whatever techniques they've learned in school into the clinical reasoning framework. Down and dirty, I'm going to take a step back.
Okay.
The problem is that in the research, there's a lot of research on clinical reasoning around diagnosis.
Right.
So everybody knows how to get a diagnosis. You send one person to 5 different PTs, more than likely, they're going to get the same diagnosis. We are really good at getting a diagnosis. But then the problem is after the diagnosis, scatter.
We go all over the place.
All over the place. And nobody has a really good reason as to why they're doing what they're doing. Now, we can still go all over the place with the clinical reasoning that I'm presenting, but it at least allows there to be a similarity in the reason I'm doing this is because the 3 pillars that we're looking at, mechanical capacity, neuromuscular function, motor control. And we just plug it into that. If they fit, and it allows you to say, you know what, I'm using a Mulligan mobilization with movement. Well, why are you using that? Well, because they had a stuck joint, it did not move well, it was hypomobile,
mechanical.
I'm gaining range of motion, mechanical, plug it into that. Or I'm using NDT to help retrain their neuromuscular function and their motor control. I'm trying to retrain into the brain. You don't have to use the techniques that we teach, but it at least allows you to say, why am I doing this? It's based on one of these. And if somebody doesn't have mechanical restrictions, don't mobilize them. You don't need to sit there doing manual therapy to mobilize them. Techniques to help get their neuromuscular function better or their motor control better.
And this is where I grabbed onto what I saw, what your presentation was going to be about. And for me, because I'm like, I need to be doing something, but I should just step back and think, what are the 3 things I need to pay attention to? Those are it.
Mechanical,
neuromuscular, and motor control.
Yeah.
Where are they lacking? What can I do for that? Plug it in. Done.
Bingo. Done. And then that focuses. The truth is all humans need treatment in all different ways. I mean, I treat everybody from professional athletes, high-level NBA, hockey, to geriatrics, to young kids.
Same body.
They're human beings. They are all human body or neuro. Man, in my residency when I was in Oregon, I had probably 10% outpatient neuro patients that I was treating. It was fantastic. I get to learn how it's just the same thing. I treat them to enhance their function, and they're a neuro patient. They may need more neuromuscular reeducation and more motor control, but it doesn't mean the biggest disservice that we do to them is negating the mechanical capacity issues that neurological patients have. Sometimes they literally can't get somewhere, not because their muscles aren't firing, but because their body's stuck and it can't move that way, and me mobilizing their joints to get them there is the best thing I could do for them. So taking it out of this, like, what's the patient population? What do you treat? I treat the human body, and I enhance the efficiency of the human body, and it doesn't matter what population it is. I'm able to plug that into it, no matter what it is, and help them.
I liked, in case you haven't heard the episode with Seth Blee, he kind of went through those 3 pillars. I had heard him speak before I interviewed him, and I was like, wow, okay. I get this. It's going to fall under one of those 3 pillars. And I did like how he kind of he brought it back together with motor control being the one thing that PT really does better than some of the other disciplines. And
Agreed.
We have to wrap it up with the motor control.
You have to. You have to. And it's not just that. The PTs, in my opinion, and I hope I don't offend anybody on this podcast, but PTs and the physical therapy profession, PTAs, occupational therapy, just overall, let's all encompass that. We are the best suited to manage the mechanical system and the function and enhance the mobility and motion of the human system. It's because of our ability to address all their different needs. Chiropractors don't. Chiropractors manipulate and send them out the door. You have no idea how many patients I've had that are like, man, I was so good from a chiropractor. I saw them all the time. And then I bent over.
And then what? Right.
And then they hurt themselves. Like, no, the chiropractors miss the whole second half of what I'm talking about. Neuromuscular function, motor control?
Not there.
Nothing. Not there. They don't do it. They just manipulate and send them out the door, and you feel good after manipulation.
Sure. It's a killer business model, man.
Oh, killer.
Get them on the needle and get them back.
Interesting polling that they did. The reason that chiropractors went into business, what do you think the reason? I mean, if you're wrong, who cares? But why do you think chiropractors went into business?
Went into business?
Went into became a chiropractor.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, great business model, growth, money. Okay.
Money. Money is the top thing to take chiropractors. MDs, medical doctors. What do you think takes medical doctors into practice?
Their moms wanting to be able to tell their...
It's sort of close. Very close.
Prestige?
Prestige.
Really?
That's the exact word.
Really? Okay.
Prestige. Medical doctor to prestige. Chiropractor to money. Physical therapist, when they pull physical therapist,
we know we're not going to be rich.
You're not
we
making know. Money.
And nobody knows what we do. Even
and
my
nobody
mom
even
is
knows
confused.
That you have a doctorate.
No prestige there.
There's no prestige there.
Helping people?
Helping people.
Yeah.
Hands down, helping people and wanting to help people is number one in PT. That is why we are best positioned to be able to help
people. Well, you look at those three that you pointed out. So you got chiropractors, physicians, and PTs. Which one spends the more hands-on, face-to-face time with the patient? That's going to be a PT.
PT.
Physician.
Hands down.
They're going to be in and out. They're going to give you the quick subjective. Chiropractor. Pop and crank, and I'm out. PTs. Hopefully, you know, I'd like to work at a place where I could see a patient for at least 45 minutes.
I've got an hour.
Or an hour. We're going to be with the patient longer. We're more bought in, and we hope the patient's more bought in.
Nobody hears patient stories, hears where their pain's coming from, understands the narrative of it. No other profession is quite as skilled at touching their pain as we are.
Yeah.
The first time you touch a patient's pain and you put your finger right where they hurt, whether or not you actually do something to that and treat it is beyond the fact. You touch them where it hurts and you say, I understand your pain, they're bought in. They know that you're going to be able to help them.
Yeah.
It is a selling point that we are positioned as physical therapists to be able to do beyond any other medical practitioner.
Yeah.
Medical doctors, they don't even touch you. And I've got friends who are medical doctors and they're so bummed out about it because they went in because my friends, they're like, I wanted to do something big. I wanted to help. No, they're not getting any of that. They don't have the time to do
right.
it. He barely has the time to see his patients for 7 to 10 minutes. He's looking at x-rays saying you need to go somewhere else and never touching, never physical assessment. The touching of a patient is a lost art, and it means a lot to patients when you can touch them.
Yeah. Here in Utah, it's not a shock that you were a bartender. I was a bartender in college, and afterwards, it's like, but that's the kind of person that PT draws, is the person that's like, I'm going to be here with you the whole night, me and you.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure out why you're here, and I'll give you what's going to fix you, what's going to ail you, and I'll send you on your way.
Cheers.
It's what a bartender and a PT does. Right there. Wow, we're getting inroads here. I like that. So
I love it.
Seth had kind of alluded to some of the IPA courses. What do you think of courses that students should take or look into when you're out of school in the beginning, the first couple of con ed courses? What's good?
Yeah, I'm not going to resell my courses on here. I mean, I love the IPA courses. I took them all when I was a student.
But which ones, I mean? Like which
ones?
Because he had brought up,
what you're looking for.
I'll just tell you what he led with. He was like PNF. He's like, go PNF, and we can figure stuff out from there.
I say PNF when people have a decent background in doing any manual therapy.
Okay.
They're like, man, I use mobilization with movement. I feel like I can do other things like this. I've done Maitland a lot. I feel like I do a lot of manual therapy. I'm like, PNF is what you need, because the one thing that you're not probably getting from those is this. It'll fill a void.
Right.
If somebody comes to me and they're like, I don't do manual therapy, I just do a lot of exercises, I'm telling them to go FM1, which is our soft tissue mobilization. It teaches the three-dimensionality, which is so different in IPA. When we mobilize a joint, which we get mostly into in our upper division courses, there's some two-day courses that I developed that I teach, which we go through entry-level material and advanced material. I'll tell you about those in a second, but no prerequisites. You can take them straight out of the gate, come get a whole thing on either the foot and ankle or the pelvic girdle, and know how we treat soft tissue, how we treat joints, and how we treat everything motor control and neuromuscular for that section. And it's great because it ties it all into something. But of our main three entry-level courses, the thing that we do different is the three-dimensionality. We don't believe that joints are dictated in their restrictions that they get and in the hypomobilities by the articular surfaces.
Okay.
Hypomobilities are, in our opinion, most likely created by extra-articular things, extra-articular structures, the extracellular matrix, which is random connective tissue. It is unorganized a lot of times, or it's organized, but it does not dictated by the articular structures, meaning you need to three-dimensionally assess a joint in order to find all the different reasons that that joint might not be functioning, instead of only assessing along the plane of the joint motion.
And try to mobilize that
one. Try to mobilize it. FM1 teaches you the basics of learning that three-dimensionality, teaches you the skills to be able to start to assess location, depth, and direction of a restriction and be able to engage that barrier. And that's what you need to be able to treat any bone or joint or soft tissue or visceral structure or nerve in the body, are those skills. And so FM1 can be another great starting point.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, man, dude, I love it. I get super passionate about
What's
this.
The website? Seth had brought it up before. I didn't write it down. What's the website for IPA?
Instituteoffysicalart.com.
Okay.
Or the shorter version is theipa.co.
Because I love the fact that it's IPA and we like to drink
sometimes
with IPAs.
I love that people just think of that. They're like, IPA. I love IPAs. I'm like, it's almost time. Let's go have one.
I alluded to this in your intro. Dude, you went to India.
Yeah.
And you taught 14 physiotherapists there. What was that like?
First of all, I just finished my residency. I'd done a year residency under some amazing people, Kent Kaiser and Mike Baum in Eugene, Oregon. Kent teaches for NIONT and IPA. Mike was a senior faculty for Kaiser Vallejo residency with PNF, and he teaches also for IPA. Like, just really super quality people, and I was excited. I got a lot of mentorship, and I'm like, but I'm only a year out. What the hell am I doing going? I hope that's not wrong. What am I doing going to
India
to teach residency? I felt I was like,
oh, how'd that come up?
Our company, Institute of Physical Art, has a relationship. We have a residency program there in India.
So they said, hey, you want to go to India? And you're like,
I was like, sure, I'll do it. Yeah, no problem.
I would have said, yeah.
How it came about is, so we're in partnership with the Times of India, largest English spoken newspaper in the world, huge media corporation. The owners are the Jains. At one point, the wife of one of the owners got treated by somebody who was trained through Institute of Physical Art.
Wow.
She goes, this is really different than anything else I've ever had. I like this. Why has nobody else treated me like this? They're like, I don't know. They're like, where'd you learn how to do this? Institute of Physical Art. Where are the owners of that? Steamboat Springs, Colorado. They bought a ticket to Steamboat Springs, Colorado the next day, came out and was like, hey, we want to bring you to India. They built us a $14 million facility in India.
Wow.
So it's hard to say no to coming and working in an amazing facility.
Yeah. So they bring you over there, and now you're there, and you're going to train some people.
I'm teaching functional manual therapy, what we teach in IPA, to the Indian physical therapist.
What's their education? How are they?
Yeah, some of them have masters, but actually the best ones that I was teaching were the ones without the master. Their biggest problem in India, and apology to any Indian physical therapist listening to this, I love you guys, but biggest problem is their whole educational system is yes, no, right, wrong, black, white. Physical therapy,
right.
We have to have a tolerance for ambiguity. There's never black and white. So you always do this. Always is not the answer that I'm ever going to answer yes. I always look for multiple different options. Like, so I went over there thinking I was not going to be ready to teach them. I had so much to give them. And it was the best. It was such a good experience. I love them. They were such a good group of therapists. And I get excited. I got to go back and teach courses for the next group of residents. Earlier this year, I was there for a week. I just went back, taught a couple courses. But seeing all of the ones that I mentored when I was there, they have grown so much. They're so mature as physical therapists. It almost brought tears to my eyes. I was so excited and so proud of them for how good they are at what they're doing. And seeing that my impact while I was there led them to where they're at, there's nothing more touching, more meaningful than watching that. Oh man, it's the best experience
ever. That's cool. That's got to be great.
Passing on and seeing people succeed, you want the people that you teach to be
Absolutely.
Better than you.
Absolutely.
And it's just so great to watch them improve.
Wow. Well, what's the culture like over there? I mean, was that the first time you had gone
over
there?
Okay, so De Delhi, I just watched a special on this. Delhi is the most polluted city in the world.
I read today, it's weird that we bring this up, it costs $50 million a year just based on poor sewage treatment in terms of shortened lifespan and hospital stays, just because they don't treat their waste.
Short story, totally not on PT, but we were going on a tour around Delhi, and they used to have, back a long time ago, they used to have these water wells that are like multiple, it's like an inverse pyramid, so you walk down it so that you can get down to get to the well. This day, there was normally not water in it, but this day there was water in it filling up half of it. Gross. The person told us it's probably sewage, broken sewage pipe. There were kids jumping in it and swimming around in it. Nothing. No even second thought about, am I going to get sick? And the thing is that if they got sick, they would probably say, oh, I ate something bad, or the air conditioning was on and it was the air conditioning got me sick. No, you were swimming around in dirty sewage water, and that's why you got sick. It's really, it's crazy. It's like a whole different mentality to everything.
So what's up with you now, that you're back? You did that for, that was a couple months, right?
The first time I was there for a few months in India. I came back just over 3 years ago. I sat for a certification in functional manual therapy through the IPA, and then I moved to New York to do my fellowship. Fellowship took me about a year and a half. Great experience. Amazing. Hard work.
I bet.
A lot of work. A lot of research. A lot of staying up late nights preparing presentations and everything. And then I just stayed in the same clinic after I finished. And I'm there indefinitely right now. I am blessed to be at that clinic and work there.
And where is it? Let's give them a plug.
Midtown Manhattan. It's IPA Manhattan is the name of the clinic. We're on 48th and Madison.
It's a spot, man. 48th and Madison.
Dude, we're right next to Rockefeller Center.
Yeah. That's awesome. And what kind of patients are you seeing there?
Large majority. I mean, a large majority are middle-aged. A lot of them work as either lawyers, finance. We see a lot of those patients.
That's the population of that particular area.
And we're cash-based, which makes it even more segregated towards that.
But when you see cash-based, and this is what I've heard from some people, somebody who's willing to pay cash for their care is going to put a lot more focus into it, and you see it. Do you see a lot more return on the investment?
A lot. Mostly. There's some patients whose money doesn't mean
they have money, so they just pay for it.
Totally. Oh my God, the amount of money that they have coming out of their ears is ridiculous. One of them even asked us to stop charging his insurance because his insurance was reimbursing him. He's like, I'm getting maintenance care here. I'm feeling pretty good. I like what I'm doing. I don't think you need to charge my insurance because just charge me.
Wow.
His next question was, should I buy a golf course this weekend? It's unbelievable. So sometimes
I want that guy's problems.
I want that guy's problems too. On the whole, and this might come up, I'm going to be very honest here.
Okay.
Hardest patients that I ever had with convincing to do home exercise program and do self-care were my Medicaid patients when I was in Medicaid. So
okay.
Lower
that?
Income. They came in expecting to just have treatment, expecting to have it be free, expecting for us to fix them, not even kidding, and did not want to put their own, it wasn't their problem, it was our problem to fix.
So it's the other side of the coin of the cash base, a cash base pays, who's going to pay out of pocket? Motivated, it's the other
motivated.
Side.
They don't do that.
Other side of the
they
side.
Come in ready to do whatever. When I'm treating, I try to do as much of the treatment of things that I can do to them that they can't do on their own. I teach them a home exercise program, and it's their responsibility to do it.
It has to be their responsibility.
Do your home exercise program. You don't need me to sit here babysitting you doing exercises. Or you can pay, we're $300 an hour. You can pay me $300 an hour to watch you do whatever you want.
Whatever you want to do. I'll do it.
You want it? I'll sit here and I'll do notes while you do your exercises for $300 an hour. I would actually appreciate that. But they understand that. They understand that it's their, it's a team thing. I'm not going to 100% fix them. There's things they need to do to contribute to this. But my patients are motivated to do that when they're cash-based.
Yeah. Surgery is done to you. Medication is given to you. But physical therapy, you got to come this way. You got to do with it.
You got to participate. And it's one of the great things about functional manual therapy. The way that we mobilize joints is all getting the patient involved.
If you're not involved, it ain't going.
No. It's we localize a joint to its restriction, and then the patient is doing an active movement, an active contract, relax, or hold, relax in order to engage the barrier. So instead of us passively giving them something so they're a passive recipient, they're actively participating in changing the mobility of their body.
With a little bit of buy-in, that's when you're going to get a better result.
Buy-in. And our buy-in is they feel better after each treatment. I expect immediate results. If I don't get immediate results, I'm second-guessing myself. If I don't get immediate results after 2 treatments, I'm looking somewhere else. If I don't get it after 3 treatments, I'm saying, man, I don't know if it's like the right thing. We got to look outside this. And I manage my patients. If I'm like, I think you could see somebody that can do this or this, I'm sending my patients elsewhere. our patients come to us direct access. Right. I'd say 50% of mine are not coming from physicians. I'm referring them to physicians to go get checked out. I'm acting as their main manager of their healthcare, not a physician. And it's great, and they trust me. NBA basketball player who I was treating, two physicians said, you need to get another epidural. He called me on the phone, talked to me. I said, I think it's time for surgery. He got surgery the next morning. That's trust.
Because you went through.
Because
you didn't
I'm
see
like,
a result.
Listen,
you didn't see a result.
I have treated you. I know what I can do. I know. Here's the signs and symptoms that are worrying me. He had immediate return of full strength in his calf. Immediate, like, so many positive things. And he called me and he's like, I'm so glad I did the surgery. It's that ability to say, listen, I love conservative care. I want you to get better from physical therapy because I think I'm badass at what I do. And I think I can help a lot of people who don't get helped by traditional physical therapy. But when it hits the road.
When you need it, you need it.
When you need it, you need it. And I said, right now, you know what? Despite me putting all my effort into wanting to help you, I think it's time for you to get surgery. And they value that. They value you being somebody who's not. Surgeons are so stuck on surgery. They just do surgery.
They're a hammer and they see the world as nails.
Exactly. And a lot of physical therapists are like, don't get surgery. Let me do my physical therapy. If you can be somebody who can say, you know what, surgery's time right for you right now. Or you know what, I think you're actually a person who we can still help with conservative care. Or you know what, you might need to say dietitian because I think you've got some inflammatory things. Maybe you need to see holistic medicine because I think some of your pain's coming from what you're eating. And we need to go test you for allergies, environmental or food allergies. And I've had patients who black mold in their apartment was what was getting them all their pain.
Really?
And it's that referring and being willing to say.
You got to think it could be something else.
It could be something else. It doesn't have to be mechanical neuromuscular motor control. If there's something else, it's not fitting in that. I'm not getting results. I'm saying what else is missing. I need to look elsewhere.
Yeah,
I get results, and I pride myself on getting results. That's why people come and pay money, because they expect to get changes quickly.
Yeah, you're in Midtown Manhattan. People want results.
They want
yesterday.
Yesterday. They're all in finance. They're like, listen, I don't have time for this.
Let's go.
If I don't get it, I don't drag them through the mud saying, maybe I'm going to get it next time. I'm like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I'm not getting results, I'm referring them on to somebody else to have a second opinion.
I like that mode of thought. But then we get the foundation in PT school, and then we can start to look. Once we kind of get a little bit of balance, we can start to think, all right, now how can I be a little bit sharper?
I think being a patient manager, starting to look at yourself as I'm not just the person who's following through orders that the doctor's giving me. I am an independent practitioner. I have autonomy as a physical therapist. When you start to look at that and say, people can see me straight as a physical therapist without going to somewhere else, I am going to manage that patient.
We've been fighting for that. Now we got it.
Now you need to take a hold of it.
Yeah.
Use it. Manage the patient, and they will be so grateful because nobody else listens to them as much as we do, as we already talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Nobody else listens to their full story. Nobody gets it. We are the psychologists of the medical profession.
Yeah. We're the bartender of the medical profession.
Bartender,
we're
absolutely.
Right there, hands
Somebody
on.
Told me that before I went to PT school. They're like, you really changed professions, but you're sort of going to do the same thing. You're going to make people feel better, and you're going to listen to them. And
all
you're
night.
All day long.
Cure what ails you all night, man.
Yeah. I just do it with my hands now instead of with a liquor bottle.
Yeah. All right. So an episode is a pint. Before we're done with the pint, we do shots. Give a parting shot. So a little piece of advice to PT students or maybe new grad PTs within the first couple of years. What's one piece of advice that you wish you had?
It's hard to say one. Get mentorship and learn a system.
And that's what your talk is about here at National Student Conference, is a system.
Learn a system. It doesn't have to be IPA. It can be anything. Learn a system, and then when you start branching out and taking other courses, like you have a system to tie that back into. Maitland, McKenzie, Mulligan, they all teach you. NIOMP teaches a great system. OGI. Learn a system. Just get plugged in and go through it and dedicate yourself to getting good at that, and you will serve your patients better than not really having expertise in anything.
Yeah.
So do it.
On a previous episode, pay attention to, if you have two different systems, Mulligan, Maitland, pay attention to the similarities and not necessarily the differences.
Absolutely. 100% agree. We're treating the human body. Functional manual therapy and the way that we mobilize using functional mobilization has some very stark similarities to mobilization with movement that Mulligan developed.
Right.
Neither of the developers had any idea that the other person was developing. They just were figuring out what works with the human system. Problem solve with your patients. We've got clinical reasoning is what we term it as now. It used to be clinical problem solving. I miss the term clinical problem solving a little bit because you can have a reason. Oh, it says to do it in the research.
Okay.
The clinical guidelines will give you a list of things to do. They don't tell you how to organize it at all. how to sequence it, when to do what. They're just going to say, hey, clinical says that these have A, B, or C, or D rating, and these are the things that you may want to do with your patients. We need to be able to problem solve with our patients, and we also need to problem solve when we are treating, like I do, a lot of patients who are the 80% outside the 80%. Something can be fantastic evidence. This 80% of the people improved dramatically with this intervention. What happens to the outlier? That's who I see. I want more people to problem solve. Take your knowledge, read into the research, read the research. Research is so good. I'm not downplaying research. I love that we do research. I think we need to do more research. We need to get more evidence out there on what we do. 100% supporter. But research is not black and white. Don't just blindly apply the research. Read the research and be like, why did that work? Why did that work for that population? And how can I apply that to a population that may not be exactly the same, but how can I apply the concepts behind why I think that worked? Use your knowledge of basic anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, and problem solve.
I like that.
You are smart. You are a physical therapist. You can figure things out, and I want people to do that. Just trust yourself.
I want to put that on a fucking t-shirt. You
I
are,
love
you
it.
You are smart.
You are
a
smart.
Physical therapist.
I love it. Let's do a t-shirt.
Ryan Johnson, dude, I'm pumped to come to your lecture tomorrow. I need a system. That's what I picked up from just reading the description of your talk is I want a system just so I can better organize what I already know. And you just said it. I'm smart. I'm a PT.
You're smart. You're a PT. I'm going to give you something. It's simple. It's basic. It's easy. Mechanical capacity, neuromuscular function, motor control. Super simple, but it just makes sense and it just works. And just, it gives you a reason behind what you're doing.
All right.
So I'm excited to have you at the talk.
I'm in. Let's do this.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast. I appreciate you coming out when you're at National Student Conclave and you're in the middle of doing a million things. But, man, this is what I was thinking of when I created the podcast, was this kind of conversation. But just two people talking PT over a drink and saying, you know what, this is what I'm passionate about and this is what I'm into. So
that's the thing that's amazing. Physical therapists are passionate. There's a lot of them that are.
Like you said, the reason we got into this,
we want to help people.
Let's
help. Let's keep that focus. Let's help people. And let's not get so bogged down in this idea that you have to only do one thing. Or this is the only thing that's been proved by the research. That drove me crazy when a student told me that. I can't do this because it's not been proved in the research. Well, okay, go do the research to disprove it, and then we can not do it.
Like, good point.
Like, if you go do research to disprove this, I will stop doing it. Let's help people.
Let's help people. That's what I want to end on. I want to drop the mic and walk off stage. Let's help people. Ryan Johnson, thanks for coming on the
Dude,
PT
so
Podcast.
Great. This awesome. Has been fun. I'm going to go for another pint.
Listen, share, and subscribe at iTunes right now. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.